नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2। चैप्टर 2 इज एंटाइटल्ड अजामिल डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णु दूतास। टेक्स्ट 5 एंड 6। यस्यांके शिर आधाय लोकः स्वपिति निर्वृतः स्वयं धर्मम अधर्मम वा नहि वेदयता पशुः सकतं न्यर्पितात्मानं कृतमैत्रमचेतनम् विश्रम्भणीयो भूतानां सगृणो दोग्धुमर्हति। यस ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। पीपल इन जनरल आर नॉट वेरी एडवांस्ड इन नॉलेज by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship? Purport. The Sanskrit word Vishvastaghat refers to one who breaks faith or causes a breach of trust. The mass of people should always feel security because of the government's protection. Therefore, how regrettable it is for the government itself to cause a breach of trust and put the citizens in difficulty for political reasons. We actually saw during the partition days in India that although Hindus and Muslims were living together peacefully, manipulation by politicians suddenly aroused feelings of hatred between them. And thus the Hindus and Muslims killed one another over politics. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In this age, animals are kept nicely and given shelter, completely confident that their masters will protect them. But unfortunately, as soon as the animals are fat, they're immediately sent for slaughter. Such cruelty is condemned by Vaishnavas like Vishnu Dutas. Indeed, the hellish conditions already described await the sinful man responsible for such suffering. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely sinful. Because such betrayals now go unpunished by the government, all of human society is terribly contaminated. The people of this age are therefore described as manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadritaha. As a consequence of such sinfulness, men are condemned manda. Their intelligence is unclear sumanda matayo. They are unfortunate manda bhagya, and therefore they are always disturbed by many problems upadritaha. This is their situation in this life, and after death they are punished in hellish conditions. Translation once again. People in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. So we are saying in this chapter, right from the verse first, that Vishnu Dutas, they are rebuking the Yamadutas for not following their dharma properly. They are mentioning that how a leader supposed to lead people is supposed to follow his dharma codes. Otherwise, the consequences can be very much dangerous to people who are following them. In fact, the leader should be such an ideal person that at any cost, he should not give up his dharma. He should not give up his faith. One time there was a king who had invaded a kingdom, and he was a king of some other race. She was ruthlessly converting everyone in that kingdom. In that kingdom there also lived a sadhu. So the soldiers of that king caught the sadhu, and they tried their best to convert him in the same religion. But the sadhu was not budging an inch. He was very faithful to his dharma. So they brought the sadhu to the king, thinking that just by seeing the king, seeing the king's anger, the sadhu might change his mind. So as soon as they brought the sadhu to the king very angrily, with a sword in his hand, told the sadhu that, "Do you realize who I am? I am a king, the most notorious king ever existed. And I can use this sword and immediately behead you, and I will do so without blinking my eye." He was trying to pressurize him so that he gets converted. But the reaction of sadhu was, he was very calm, peaceful. In fact, he was looking very compassionately at the king. And then he replied, "You know who I am? I am the man who is going to be beheaded by you by this sword, and I will be beheaded without blinking my eyes." So in this way, at any cost, the sadhu did not give up his dharma. He maintained his principles at any cost. So herein, we are seeing from last so many verses, especially the last verse, which on Sunday was taken by Gaur Gopal Prabhu, that how Vishnudutas are telling Yamadutas that if the leader is not proper, then a common man will follow the leader, and then they will take adharma to be dharma. And in this particular verse, Prabhupada is saying in the translation that the common people, they put their faith in the leaders. And the translation compares a common person to be like an innocent animal who is sleeping on the lap of his master, thinking that the master will always protect him. But if the leader is wrong, then such a leader might breach the trust of such a dependent and might kill him. In fact, Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives two modern time examples of a leader breaching the trust or breaking the faith of his followers. The most wonderful example which Srila Prabhupada gives here is the partition of India. That how Hindus and Muslims, with both of their diversities, live together in the same country. But it was for some political reasons that Hindu and Muslims fought and they killed each other. And all because of the leaders. Also, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that today, all over we find people raising, protecting animals. And the animals think that his master is so kind, he's feeding me so nicely, he'll always protect me. But the animal is not knowing that a master has he has altruistic motives in order to feed the animal. He's just waiting when the animal grows up and becomes a fat animal so that he can get a good price. So in this way, Prabhupada gives a modern example, two modern examples to prove that how today leaders are breaking the faith of their followers. And the consequences of this, Srila Prabhupada says, is that people all over the world have become sinful and they have become terribly contaminated. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says that the entire age of Kali Yuga has degraded because of this kind of breaching of trust. And Prabhupada mentions that because of this, people are manda, sumanda matayor, manda bhagya and upadrita. Prabhupada says, thus in this life, they are miserable, and after this life, such people will go to hell. So today in our presentation, we will discuss two themes from this purport. The first theme will be that how Krishna does not tolerate the improper conduct of a leader. Second theme we will be covering will be that how or what is the real conduct of a leader, what is Krishna's expectation of a leader. So we'll take the first theme, that is Krishna's correcting of the improper conduct. In the Bhagavad Gita, the fourth chapter, we see Krishna says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Therein Krishna mentions various reasons for his arrival, his appearance in this material world. And the most prominent one, Krishna says, is he wants to establish the religion in his world. Re-establish the religion. So therefore we can see that Krishna doesn't tolerate someone breaking dharma. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that when Lord Ram came, he taught Ravan such a lesson which is unparalleled in history because of his breaking of dharma. So whenever Krishna comes as himself or in his incarnation, the main point is that to establish religion in this world. Herein also, Lord Krishna's personal assistants, servants, Vishnu Dutas, they are trying to correct the improper conduct of the Yamadutas. So in this way, Krishna comes again and again to re-establish religion and correct the proper conduct, improper conduct. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a wonderful incident wherein Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrects such an improper conduct in a leader. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 17, wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Navadvip and he is performing Sankirtan. And there is this leader, Chand Kazi, who comes and who is having also an improper conduct towards people following dharma. It is mentioned here that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Nagariya Loki Prabhu Yebi Agya Dila Ghare Ghare Sankirtan Korita Lagila. Lord is ordering all the citizens of Navadvip to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and in each and every home there should be Sankirtan. So, hearing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, all the devotees start Sankirtan in their home. Mridanga Karatala Sankirtan Mahadhwani Hari Hari Dhwani Vina Anya Nahi Shuni. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order has been followed now. In every house there is only one Mahadhwani. That is Hari Hari. And the beating of Mridanga and clashing of hand cymbals. Otherwise there is no other talk. Prabhupada says, if you want to avoid Prajalpa, this is the best thing. Always chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada says, in our Mayapur temple, we should follow this schedule. Always with cymbals and with Mridanga, chant Hari Hari. And in this way, people will not do Prajalpa. But now, on the other hand, the next scene, Shuniya e krudha hoila sakala yavan Kaji pashe asi sabhe koilo nivedan. Now, seeing this resounding mantra being vibrated everywhere, the local Mohammedans, they became very much angry. And they went to complain to the Kazi. Krodha sandhya kale Kaji eka ghar aila. When Kaji came to know about this, immediately in krodha avesh, angered, he entered a house. Mridanga bhangya loka kahita lagila. Immediately he broke a mridanga and he shouted. Eta kala keha nahi koila hindu yani ebe ye udyama chalao kara bala jani. Till now you never followed your religion. Suddenly what happened to you? You are following your religion, chanting Hare Krishna. Keha kirtan nahi koru sakala nagare aji ami shama kori yaite chon ghare. Today I am leaving you because your sin is not so big. But remember, next time I come, what I will do? Are yadi kirtan korite laga paimu sarvasva dandiya tara jati elaimu. Chand Kazi is saying, the next time I come, I will take all of your property and then convert you into a Muslim. Eta boli kaji gela nagariya loka. Prabhu stane nivedila paya bada shoka. When the devotees heard this from the Kazi, they became very much disturbed. So when a devotee becomes disturbed, what does he do? He immediately goes to the Lord. So they all went to the Lord in bada shoka, in great grief. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, Prabhu agya dila, yaha koro kirtan, mui sambharino aji sakala yavan. Go ahead, do kirtan. Today I will destroy all the yavanas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying. Ghare giya sabha loka karaye kirtan, kajira bhaye swachandanahe chamakitaman. But a devotee is still little afraid. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't worry, but still little fear is there. So they are doing very slow kirtan, like Shayan kirtan. They are not doing Tamil chess kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares that, why are you afraid of this Chand Kazi? Don't worry. Nagare nagare aji karimu kirtan, sandhya kale kare sabhe nagara mridanga, nagara mandan. He's saying, today evening you will see my strength. Today evening I shall perform sankirtan each and every town, and therefore you should decorate the whole city in the evening. Sandhyayate dyuti sabhe jwala ghare ghare, dekha kona kaji asi more mana kare. In the evening you bring out your torchlights and all of you come out. Let me see who is this Kaji who can refuse me. So in this way Lord Gaur Sundar came out in the evening to perform kirtan. And from all directions devotees are joining him. Lord Gaur Sundar had made 3 parties to do kirtan. In the front party Thakur Hridas was dancing. In the middle party Advaita Acharya. And in the last party, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself danced with Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, the Sankirtan party reaches Chand Kazi's house. But the scene is very violent there. Tarja garja kare loka kare kolahal, Gaura Chandra bole loka prashray pagal. Now the devotees had got support of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you get support of a powerful leader, then you can do anything. So all the devotees, they were shouting, Tarja garja kare, kare kolahal. They were angry. And they were mad to destroy the Kazi. Kirtanere dhvanite Kazi lukaila ghore. Hearing this, the Kazi was hiding inside his inner chambers. Tarjan garjan suni na hoye bhaire. He did not come out. The devotees, seeing this, Uddhatta loka bhange kajira ghara pushpavana. Vistarira varna iha dasa vrindavana. Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying in Chaitanya Bhagavat that some of the devotees became so agitated that they began to retaliate the Kazi's action by wrecking his house from outside and they destroyed his flower garden. That time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing this violent scene, he came ahead. Tabe Mahaprabhu tara dware te vasila bhavya lok pathaya kajire bolaila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered, but he sat just near the doors. And then he sent some of his devotees to call the Kazi. Dura hoite aila Kazi matha noaya. Kazi came out with his head bowed down. Kazi re vasaila Prabhu sammana koriya. But the Lord gave him proper respect. Prabhu bolen, Ami tomar ailam abhyagat. I am your guest. I have come to your house. Ami dekhi lokaila e dharma kemat. Which religion you are following? When a guest is coming to your house and you are hiding inside. So Kazi is saying, Kazi kahe, Tumi aisa krudda hoya, toma shant koraita rohini lukaya. Kazi is saying that actually you are so much in angry mood, so therefore I am waiting that your anger will subside. And so now I have come to meet you because now you are not so angry. Ebe tumi shant hoila asim mililan, bhagya more toma hena athiti pailan. Now I am very much fortunate to have you because to get such a guest is not easy. And now we will see that Chankezi is building a relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saying, Grama Sambandhi Chakravarti Hoye Mora Chacha. Deha Sambandhi Hoyete Hoye Grama Sambandha Sacha. In our village, long time ago, Nilambar Chakravarti was my uncle. And he is your grandfather. So in that relationship, what happens is, I am also your uncle. So then he says that many times it happens that the nephew is angry on the uncle, but the uncle doesn't mind. Sometimes the uncle makes mistake, but the nephew doesn't mind. So therefore we are nephew and uncles, we should not mind each other's offenses. So in this way, the dialogue continues. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asks him, Prabhu kahe, prashna lagi ayalam tomara sthane. I have come to ask you one question. Kaji kahe, agya karo ye tomara mane. Please, question me. Prabhu kahe, go dugdha khao, gabhi tomar mata. Vrishya anna upajaye, tate teho pita. You are drinking cow's milk, so cow is your mother, and you produce grains through the bull for your maintenance, therefore he is your father. Pita mata mari khao, eva kona dharma, kona bale kara tumi e mata vikarma. Which religion you are following, wherein you are killing your own father and mother? Kaji kahe, tomar yeche veda puran, teche amara shastra ketao koran. Just like you have veda puran, we have our Quran. Prabhupada says, the Kaji is so well learned, he is not giving him logic and arguments. He is directly quoting from his Quran. In this way, discussion should take place based on shastra, not from philosophical, not from mental speculation and logic and arguments. And then he is now putting his case here. He is saying that in the Quran, there are two types of marga, path mentioned. The pravritti marga and the nivritti marga. In the nivritti marga, which is the marga of detachment, immediately a person detaches himself from the material world and takes to God consciousness. The other path is pravritti marga, wherein a person who is too much attached to the material world enjoys the facility of the material world and slowly engages in the activities of devotion to God. And then he mentions that in nivritti marg, detachment marg, animal killing is not allowed. But in pravritti marg, our Quran mentions that killing is allowed. There is no sin in that. In fact, Chand Kazi tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have heard that in your Vedas also there is mention of cow killing. So how is it so? Then Prabhu kahe, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Veda kahe govad nisheda. Ataeva Hindu matra na kore goved. It's impossible. Vedas never mention cow killing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. And therefore, any Hindu, whoever he may be, does not indulge in cow killing. Jiyaite pare yadi tabe mora prani, Veda purani ache hena agyavani. In the Vedas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive a living being, then he can kill it for experimental purposes. If one can revive his life, then one can kill for experimental purposes. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the great sages sometimes killed old animals. By chanting Vedic hymns, they again brought him to the life. So in this way, the Vedas might recommend for animal sacrifice. But we can see the whole understanding is that the sacrifice the king is performing not for himself, but for his citizens. And the animal which is sacrificed is very old, invalid. And an animal is sacrificed, it is not some butcher is coming and sacrificing animal. It is mentioned that the queen herself, she has to take the sword and kill the animal. In fact, the whole yagya is so expensive, it's not possible in Kali Yuga. Because, for example, Ashwamedha yagya. In Ashwamedha yagya, you have to send a horse out. And the horse is sent out. If the horse is not, no one catches the horse, that means your sovereignty is accepted by everyone. And then you can go ahead and perform Ashwamedha Yajna. So there are so many points which proves that Ashwamedha Yajna was not followed in a regular case. It was very rare, followed by kings for a particular purpose. And the animal was killed, was given a special life after that, immediately. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in this age of Kali, 5 acts are forbidden, and one of them is the killing of cow in a sacrifice. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Tomar jiyaite nar vada matra sar, naraka hoite tomar nahi kanistar. But since you Mohammedans cannot bring animal back to life, you are responsible for killing them, and therefore you are all going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, now Chand Kazi is amazed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows so many things. Toma samar shastra karta seha bhranta hoila na jani shastrera marma aiche agya dila. There are many mistakes and illusions in your scriptures. Their compilers, not knowing the essence of knowledge, gave orders that were against reason and argument. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying to Chand Kazi. Now Chand Kazi, Shuni stabda hoila kaji nahi spure vani. He could not speak anything. Vicharya kohe kaji parabhav mani. He accepted defeat. And then he's saying, Tumi hai kohile pandit se satya hoy. Adhunik amara shastra vichar sahanay. Whatever you're saying is right. Actually, our scriptures are very modern and they are not logical and philosophical. Who is saying? Chand Kazi, the leader of the community. Kalpita amar shastra ami sab jani. I know that our scriptures are full of imaginations. Jati anurodh tab sei shastra mani. But because I am a Mohammedan, I have to accept it. I have to set up a code of conduct. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him and told him that this is the wrong thing which you are doing. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has another question to be asked to Chand Kazi. And then he says that I want to ask you one more question. And the question is, I am surprised the first time the devotees performed kirtan, you came and you broke the mridanga. But the next day when the devotees kept performing kirtan, you never came back. What was the reason for not coming back? Please tell me. So that time, Chand Kazi is saying that, the reason for this is very private. I cannot say in a public place. Can we go some other place so I can discuss about the reason for not coming again to defeat or to punish the Hindus? Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that, no, everyone here is my intimate associate. There is no public and private in between them. You can speak here. There is no problem. And then Chand Kazi is saying that what actually happened was, the day when I broke the mridanga, I went back home. And that night when I was sleeping, I got a horrible dream. Sei ratri eka simha mahabhayankar, naradeha simha mukha garjaya vistar. In my dream, I saw a greatly fearful lion, roaring very loudly. His body was like of a human being and his face like of lion. Shayana amar upar lapha diya chadi, atta atta hase kare danta kada madi. When I was asleep, the lion jumped on my chest, laughing fiercely and gnashing his teeth. And then Narasimha told him, More bhuka nakha diya ghora swara bole, phadi mu tomara bhuka mridanga badale. Placing his nails on my chest, he's saying, you broke my mridanga, in the same way I will break your chest now. Mora kirtan mana karis, karimu tora shay, anki moodi kapi ami foy bada bhai. You have forbidden the performance of my sacrifice, my chanting of Hare Krishna, and therefore I must destroy you. That time Chand Kazi said, I was so much afraid, immediately I closed my eyes and I was trembling. Seeing me very much fearful, Lord, that half man, half lion, became very much merciful to me. He said, Bhita dekhi simha bole hoye sadai, tore shiksha dite koilu toro parajay. I have defeated you to teach a lesson, but I am merciful to you now. But se dina bahuta nahi koilu utpad, that day he did not perform lot of disturbance, little only. Teni shama kori na kori mu pranaghat. Therefore I am leaving you, I am not destroying you. Aiche yadi puna kara, if you again do it, tabe na sahimu, I will not tolerate this. Sa vamshe tomar mari yavana nashimu, along with you I will destroy the whole yavan race. Eta kohi simha gela amara hoilo bhai, yehi dekha nakachinna amara rudai. From that day onwards I am so much fearful. And the proof is, and Chand Kazi shows that though it happened in dream, the nails of that man is still on my chest. And this way the Qadi revealed that why he had again not come. And in fact he told that many of my soldiers, they tried to obstruct your party. But as soon as they entered your party, immediately what happened? Their beard caught flames. And they would laugh. And they all started chanting Hari Hari. So we were all disturbed. So because of the disturbance happening, I did not come back. So we can see here that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here, is correcting the improper code of chant Qazi. And we can see the two examples that Prabhupada gave in the purport of Hindu-Muslims partition and the fight. Herein also, we can see this fellow was kind of trying to be causing a quarrel between the Hindus and the Muslims, not allowing the Hindus to follow the Dharma. A leader should not do this as Prabhupada says in the purport. And also, Srila Prabhupada says that how a man who has an animal in his protection should not kill the animal. And herein, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points that how in his Dharma, the very animal, cow, who is like a mother, has been killed by the people who are protecting or taking care of the cow. So in this way, Krishna again and again corrects the improper conduct of a leader. The second thing which we are going to present today will be, what is this real conduct of a leader? Or what Krishna expects from a leader? Now you know that in the kingdom of Hastinapur, during the Pandavas, the time was there when after Dhritarashtra, who will be the king? And there was kind of a war being internally fought between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. They lived in the same place, but yet they were not, the Kauravas were not happy with the Pandavas getting the kingdom. And during that time, we can see that most of them favored Yudhishthira Maharaj. But still, Duryodhana also had his own party who were favoring him. So one time, Lord Krishna called Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhana and gave them a different task, both of them. He told Yudhishthira Maharaj, go out in the kingdom and find a person who is inferior to you and get him here. And then he told Duryodhana, you go out in your kingdom and find a superior person than you and you get him. So Yudhishthira Maharaj goes out, and when he goes out, that is the day of Ekadashi, and then he sees that a man is drawing well from the water. In those days, Ekadashis were followed in Israel, you know, they would not drink water also. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking that how this fellow is drawing well from water. Doesn't he know that today is Ekadashi, one should not drink water also? So he goes and questions that man, that today is Ekadashi and you are not following Dharma. And the man very politely replies that Yudhishthira Maharaj, actually I am not drawing this well for myself. It is for my animals. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj hears this, he becomes very much sad that actually I wrongly chastise this person. And then he decides that I am the most inferior person in this kingdom. No one can be more inferior. So he doesn't go again ahead. He comes back to the kingdom, his palace, and tells Lord Krishna, I could not find anyone inferior than me. Meanwhile, Duryodhana goes out, and then he also comes empty-handed without anyone. He says that I could not find anyone superior than me. So externally, both were Kshatriyas, very powerful fighters, and able administrators. But why Yudhishthira Maharaj was favored later? Because he had the quality of a leader. That quality was missing in Duryodhana. And what is the quality? Yudhishthira Maharaj was devotee of Lord Krishna. So therefore, the most important quality of a leader is he should be a devotee of Lord Krishna. And even if that person, a devotee of Lord Krishna, may not have all good qualities, as Bhagavatam says, slowly all those good qualities will develop in him. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair guna tatra samasate sura. The Jambu Dui presidents, they are praying to Lord that the devotees of yours, they develop all good qualities by following devotional service. All good qualities of a demigod is seen in the life of a devotee. So in this way, a leader should be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Not only that, it is mentioned that a devotee should also behave as a servant to the people he is surveying. One time Srila Prabhupada was telling the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. He mentioned in a very simple way, A non-devotee is one who thinks that he is master, and a devotee is one who thinks that he is servant. So in this way, a devotee is one who always thinks himself to be the servant of everyone. I remember one time Sanat Kumar was saying that the first time he came to this temple, that was on the pretext of attending a leadership seminar here. And that time the devotee was giving seminar. He mentioned a very important point which Sanat Kumar still remembers today. And that was, the point was, the leader should be a servant. Prabhuji was mentioning that I attended so many seminars before that, but in no seminar this word servant came. So leader should be servant to all. So we can find today that without servitorship one cannot rule properly. People may change all kinds of ism, you know, all permutations and combinations, communism, democracy, they will try monarchy also. But all this will work if the king is servant. Otherwise it won't work. Like, for example, monarchy. Monarchy was in the Vedic age, but monarchy is possible only if the king is servant to his citizens. Just 15 years ago, in Japan, there was a king who was 85 years old, and he had his son who was able to get the throne. He had his grandson who was also qualified, but this fellow was so much attached to the throne, he was not giving up the throne. So finally, the citizens became wild, and the young people, the youth of the country, they revolted against the king, and they wanted him to get away from the office. But he was so much attached, he did not give up. In fact, to protect himself, he told the police to fire on his own people, and the future of his country was killed by himself. So much attached. So whether monarchy or communism, they have a logo that theoretically all are equal, but actually it's not possible unless the main person who's there, he treats himself as servant of everyone. Otherwise, externally there will be equality, but still Prabhupada says there will be a manager, there will be a servant, and there will be difference of the pay and the difference of lifestyle. So therefore, it is not possible to have some ism or something to rule a country without the leader being a servant. In fact, Prabhupada throughout his lectures many times has very nicely, decoratively chastise democracy like demon crazy and all these words he has used. Why? Because there is a reason for that. Prabhupada said that people might elect leader from themselves, but if the public is useless, what is the use of a leader? Prabhupada gives the example that if people think tomorrow that we had too much humans as leaders, so let us make dog as a leader, because dog is very loyal and faithful. So if they make dog as a leader, just because the dog is sitting on the throne, will he change his habits? No. Prabhupada says, as soon as he sees a shoe, immediately he will jump from the throne and bite the shoe. So he will not change his habit just because he is sitting on the throne. So therefore, for a leader, just the external material situation is not just important. Most important is the spiritual change in him. Srila Prabhupada also gave an example that how if someone goes to the doctor to treat his disease, to a physician, the physician doesn't come out of his clinic and goes outside and say that this fellow has fever, kindly give your opinion how I can cure him. No, the physician is very well able, and therefore he gives prescription. Similarly, just by taking opinions of public, it won't, you can't rule properly. Prabhupada said, if the public is drunkard, womanizer, meat eater, intoxication is rampant, if you choose a leader from that, what will happen is, you will get a cheater only and not a leader. So in this way, a leader should follow the codes given in Shastra. And the code of Shastra, which Lord Krishna says, is it should be devotee and it should be a servant. In fact, we can see that Srila Prabhupada himself was a powerful leader, and in his life, he was a perfect devotee and he acted as a perfect servant. I just came across through the folio one very wonderful, loving Vyas Puja homage which His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj gave to Prabhupada in 1998. He mentions this particular theme in that Vyas Puja homage, that how Srila Prabhupada is an ideal leader. I'll read the Vyas Puja homage. Sridhar Maharaj says that in 1998, in the GBC meeting, there was a resolution passed by all the GBCs that they should all assess their own duties and their development in Krishna consciousness. The GBC should assess their own development in Krishna consciousness. So all GBCs are assessing their development. Sridhar Maharaj is saying that Srila Prabhupada, you're also GBC, the senior most GBC in our movement. So therefore, on your behalf, I will assess. And then Sridhar Maharaj starts assessing the leadership qualities of Srila Prabhupada. And then he mentions that what is the criteria of his assessment? Sridhar Maharaj says, Lord Krishna expected a lot from his pure devotees. On studying his teachings, we find that there are four main functions that Lord wanted his pure devotees to carry out. First one, Lord wanted them to be Shiksha Gurus for all the members of the universes, of the universe. And he mentions, Srila Prabhupada, you are the primary Shiksha Guru for millions and millions of devotees now and in the future for the next 10,000 years. And how did you establish this relationship? First of all, right from your birth in a pious and well-to-do Bengali family, you are a perfect example of Achar and Prachar. Right from day one, Srila Prabhupada, your proper Achar and Prachar. Srila Prabhupada was not only perfect in his behavior when he was a guru and leading disciples, but even when Srila Prabhupada was in his childhood, we can see Prabhupada was perfect. Like Srila Prabhupada was so much attached to Krishna in his childhood that Srila Prabhupada mentions once that in the childhood, he and his sister would play kites. And Prabhupada mentioned that whenever I would play a kite, fly a kite, my sister's kite would always go up than me. So therefore, to win over her, I would climb one more terrace and then I would fly a kite. So that my kite is always higher. And then he mentioned that even though I was flying kite, Maya and my sister would always chant Hare Krishna. So that was Prabhupada. He was always fully immersed in chanting of the holy name. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, we see in his life that he had such a desire to attend Rath Yatra that he himself performed Rath Yatra in his home. It is mentioned that when Srila Prabhupada was a young man, he was attached to the national movement of freedom. So one might think that how a pure devotee can get attached to a national movement, you know, nothing spiritual about it. But Satsuri Maharaj writes in Prabhupada Lamrit that there was a reason what Prabhupada got attached to the national movement. And he mentions the first reason was that Subhash Chandra Bose was in the same school as Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada saw that Subhash Chandra Bose had a lot of faith in spirituality. And therefore, Prabhupada always adored him. The next was, Srila Prabhupada mentions that many of the writers, freedom fighters, they had an idea. Satsuri Maharaj mentions, many of the freedom fighters at that time had ideas. And they wrote book mentioning that Swaraj is a spiritual movement. And that India's glory can come out and reach all over the world only when we are free. So Prabhupada was inspired by this idea. Thirdly, Prabhupada saw that many of the British's textbook in the colleges would go against the Vedic culture. In fact, Satsuri Maharaj mentions that Srila Prabhupada gave example of one such book, which was some Bengali, Mr. Ghosh, who wrote a book saying that how Vedic religion is fallen and how British culture is most important and the Indians can develop only if the British culture is taken. He's an Indian writing the book which is used in British education given to Indians. And most of the books which were there, the British would insult the Vedic culture. So Prabhupada did not like that. And above all, Satsuri Maharaj mentions that the Srila Prabhupada was especially attracted to Gandhiji. Why? Because Gandhiji always carried a Gita and said that he followed Gita and he lived a simple life of a saint. So Prabhupada felt that if India can be made free and then into a spiritual country, Gandhiji can only do it. So we can see in all those cases also, Srila Prabhupada had some connection of spirituality there. There was no mundane reason for him. So in this, Srila Prabhupada always was proper Achar and proper Prachar. Secondly, Krishna wanted the leaders to provide leadership to push on the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya to every town and village. Sridhar Maharaj mentions that Srila Prabhupada would always busy himself with the preaching movement. Morning lecture, evening lecture, in between go to houses of life members and guests and speak Krishna Katha, training disciples personally, sending disciples to train others. And in this way, he was personally giving shiksha to others. In fact, he gives shiksha to all of us through his books. And then he spent sleepless nights to write these books. Recently, Jananaspu was mentioning that Prabhupada was praying to Lord Krishna, kindly take away my sleep so that I can write books, because in the morning, in the daytime, I have to manage the whole society, therefore I don't have time. So that was Prabhupada's prayer to Krishna. One devotee was mentioning that recently, one of the most important members in the office of Stephen Covey received Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. And that lady read the whole Prabhupada Lilamrit, and she mentions that whatever is there in that book, Seven Habits of a Highly Successful Person, she found all those seven habits in Prabhupada. So even outsiders who have no idea who Prabhupada is, after reading his biography, can appreciate Srila Prabhupada as a perfect leader. Initially, Srila Prabhupada pushed on the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thirdly, Krishna wanted the leader, such a leader, to manage the movement in a responsible way. Sridhar Maharaj says that Srila Prabhupada managed the society of ISKCON in a better way than anyone can manage his own company also. In fact, Srila Prabhupada personally took charge of the physical, financial and the human assets of the society. As far as physical assets is concerned, Prabhupada was very much particular about not wasting anything. Srila Prabhupada would use toed envelope, already one cent, would cut it, write the address and send it back to save money. And as far as finance is concerned, Srila Prabhupada was very particular about that. Sridhar Maharaj mentioned the past time that initial days, when ISKCON society was formed, Srila Prabhupada made Brahmananda Prabhu the president, Rishi Kumar Prabhu as the secretary, and he himself became the treasurer. Someone might ask why Prabhupada did not become president himself. Then Sridhar Maharaj says, because Prabhupada was very much cautious of the treasury. So the next time this devotee Rishi Kumar Prabhu was secretary, he wanted some money. So whom we can approach? The treasurer. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want some money. And Srila Prabhupada told him, what is this? How dare you can ask from a spiritual master money? So then he knew that if he becomes treasurer, they will not come to ask him money and they will arrange money. Srila Prabhupada was very much particular of saving his money. But Srila Prabhupada did not save money for keeping in the bank. Immediately he would use money for Krishna consciousness. He would build temples, he would use for books, and in this way he spread Krishna consciousness all over. He would push like that. And as far as human assets is concerned, Srila Prabhupada was also very much particular in preserving human assets. That is, managing the devotee's life. Srila Prabhupada was very particular in taking care of his devotees. In fact, many devotees would go away from Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada would call them back. And Prabhupada would encourage. One time, one devotee painter who had left Krishna consciousness, he came after a very long time. So all the devotees were a little away from him because he had an odd look, a beard, and wearing strange clothes. When Prabhupada saw him, he called him in his room. And that time he told him, see, Krishna has given such a talent. You can paint so nicely. But I cannot paint. But Krishna has given me talent to preach nicely. You cannot preach. So why don't we cooperate and spread Krishna consciousness? I preach and you paint. So this was Srila Prabhupada's code of conduct to a devotee who had fallen away. He was telling him that why don't we come together and cooperate? Good tie, and then we can spread Krishna consciousness. The last issue, Sridhar Maharaj mentions that Krishna wanted them to act as the overseer, setting the proper standard, seeing the standards are maintained by disciples, and seeing that there is no philosophical deviation in the society. So Sridhar Maharaj mentions that how Srila Prabhupada did not oversee the movement as something separate. He said, Prabhupada said that this ISKCON is my own body. And therefore he saw this movement as his own body, and he actually maintained the movement as if a person maintains his own body. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was very strong against philosophical devotions. And Sridhar Maharaj mentions, compares Prabhupada to Jiva Goswami and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who were very much strong against philosophical devotions. So in this way, Sridhar Maharaj is saying that whatever Krishna expects from a spiritual leader, Srila Prabhupada follows all those things. And then he says, he begs forgiveness. I must admit that I was fearful when I first dared to assess you. I am known as impudent and imprudent, but I am very happy after assessing, because now this exercise has greatly increased my realization that there is no one else in this world than you. No one can compare you with anyone else. Therefore, you are the perfect master to read all of us out of darkness. So this is Krishna's expectation from the a leader. So we will just briefly recap. We covered two themes. The first theme was how Krishna himself corrects the improper conduct of a leader. We saw the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu correcting Chankazi. And secondly, we saw that how Krishna expects the leader to be a devotee, because then a devotee has all good qualities, and this devotee should be a servant. Because when a person is servant, then he can actually take care of his followers. And then we saw Sridhar Maharaj's Vyas Puja offering, that how Srila Prabhupada is such a perfect leader, following all the four things which Lord Krishna has mentioned. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. I'm very sorry, I went over time. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.